is always great when it gets down to harvest. And I know over the years, this place is always filled with just fantastic decor and whatnot. And yet over this last year and a half, 2 years, we've been really made to think and reflect on the priority of who it is we are as a church and how and where we put our time and effort. And we are, as always, wanting to make sure that we get to give to those who have need. And that is why we have, there's a basket at the front and for those for our collection for the storehouse, which has been back up and running, which is a wonderful ministry. So if you haven't come prepared this morning for that, that is okay. It will be there as well throughout the week for people to come and to give and to offer into that as well. Everything is on our service sheet. And the cups that we will have for wine, if you just place them on the tray at the end of the service. And I really hope and pray that this morning your heart and your mind and your soul will be blessed for what God has for you forever the week you have been. I know this week has been a difficult one with the passing of Edmund and for all that Olive and the family are going through. And we do want to lift them up in our prayers this morning as well. But let's just quieten our hearts before we pray together our collect for purity. And so we pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is gracious, for his steadfast love endures forever. And together we confess our forgetfulness for the needs of the poor, and have mercy. God has blessed us, but still the poor cry out for justice. Christ, have mercy. God has blessed us, but still we see inequality with oppression in the earth. Lord, have mercy. And our collect for this morning. O God, without you, we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning is Jeremiah 17, and beginning at verse 5. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water, that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Restore again our fortunes, O Lord, as the river beds of the desert. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed, will come back with shouts of joy, bearing their sheaves with them. Lord, as you send rain and flowers even to the wilderness, renew us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to sow the good seed in time of adversity and to live to rejoice in your good harvest of all creation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you can, please stand. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ, according to Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite Bert up, who has our word. Please be seated. Thank you for Bert. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for all that he has prepared for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. I'm now in my 70th year and becoming something of an old reprobate. But when I was younger, I have to say I was a rather pious young man. I was given to memorizing prayers, collects, passages of scripture. Not that that always translated into honest living, but the intention was there. And forgive me if you've heard this story before, but one time many years ago in September, I was on my bicycle on the way to visit a dear lady in Stillorgan, an elderly lady, and it was quite a fine September afternoon. The sky was relatively blue, though dappled here and there. I was happily singing a new hymn which I'd learnt. "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine and soft refreshing rain. And with perfect timing, as I sang the words soft refreshing rain, a cloud above me burst and I was rained upon, yeah, and drenched from head to toe, yeah. And that put an end to my piety, I think, yeah. I had to turn the bike and go home and do the visit another day. Well, today's reading has something too to say about water, but not so much a nourishing water for the earth, but not so much true rain. Rather, it's water through streams and even underground subterranean streams, which enable plants, you know, to grow and to thrive, even in under conditions of heat and aridity. Remember that how crucial and important water is in the created order. 70% of the earth is covered with water, and 80% of our bodies comprises of water. So it's not surprising, therefore, that all through Scripture, water is a symbol of the sustaining life of God, and indeed a metaphor for God's Holy Spirit. When Jeremiah was speaking of the two ways of living, away from God and wilting under hot conditions, or thriving under adverse conditions as this plant by streams, yeah, he had in mind, of course, the fact that there were hard times ahead for God's people. The historic situation was that the tiny kingdom of Judah was wedged between two enormous empires, forever at war with each other, and the kings of Judah were a lot of the time playing the game of playing one against the other, but the chickens had come home to roost, as it were, and the real situation determined that now the Babylonians were going to come, and there was nothing really that Judah could do about it anymore. Had they stuck together, had they been more loyal to the God of Israel and his ways, they would have had more of a chance, you know, of standing together, united, and resisting the enemy. But that was no longer the case. The Babylonians were coming, and all they could do now was make the best of it and go quietly into captivity. It wasn't, of course, a popular message, but it proved to be true, because in 586 BC, the Babylonians started to come in, the city began to be dismantled, and the temple, and God's people in various waves were carried away, a population displacement into a far country. All might have been lost, but it wasn't. In those years of captivity, 70 years, God's people attained a new sense of identity, one that was not so much dependent on national identity as being part of an earthly nation, as more something interior, something inside. A new institution developed amongst them known as the synagogue, which literally means gathering together. They began to gather together in groups, in rooms, in buildings, to study the old laws of Moses, which had been so badly neglected, to sing God's praises through the Psalms, and to make intercessory prayer, and to give each other encouragement in those 70 years of captivity. And they really began to experience something of those underground streams. Streams which are not always visible above ground. They're often subterranean, but they were drawing on that hidden strength. And Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity would last 70 years and then things would change again, which indeed they did. And a new idea about what Judaism is all about began to emerge. However, it has to be said that this only goes so far. Yes, people became more devout, more prayerful, but I would suggest something was missing, some vital living ingredient, and that only came with Jesus. Jesus created, it's often said, the new Israel. I don't like that term. I would say the extended Israel. And Jesus himself also compared himself to a plant surviving under the most adverse circumstances. That was, of course, true in his own life and death and subsequent resurrection. And he spoke of himself as the true vine in John chapter 16, another plant, a vine. But this time, there's only one plant in the picture. And on that plant, there are many branches. And all those who belong to him, you and me, you and I, are the branches. Again, this process happens of this plant, through its roots, gathering moisture and nutrients from the earth. Jesus, the man, was doing this, drawing on the resources of God, his Father. And by living the perfect life and dying the perfect death, he brought in some mysterious way the Holy Spirit into the world, flowing primarily through him and then through the people who are part of him, you and me, branches, down through every tendril and producing leaves and flowers and eventually fruit. Of course, Paul lists what those fruits are in Galatians 5:20 onwards, or 22. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Here at this holy table this morning, in a special way, we draw on the grace and the resources of Jesus, our living vine. And as we partake of the bread and wine, and as his Spirit flows through us in a new and special way, may we too experience those fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jeremiah was warning God's people that there was going to be trouble ahead. And really, we can say the same. It can be said for us too, as a Christian community and as part of the human race. To some extent, many of us have experienced the sustaining and upholding strength of God during lockdown days, but that's only one of many crises that we may yet have to face before our days are ended. We're getting all kinds of dire warnings about the consequences of climate change, and indeed there's going to be a conference held in Glasgow on the 11th of next month to decide a strategy for trying to live in a different way so that we can save the planet. In days past, it used to be said, live more simply so that others may simply live. Now, I believe it's more, we will have to start thinking of different ways of doing things and living more simply so that coming generations may simply live. But that's only one of many problems that the world faces and which we face. We could be overwhelmed, but let Frieda Hanbury, in her poem, The True Vine, have the last word, where she describes a branch on the vine as saying, I fear not the days to come. I dwell not upon the past, as moment by moment I draw a life which forevermore shall last. So, as you come forward this morning and receive the bread and wine, as you pray, as you draw near to God and he draws near to you, today, this week, every day that you still live on this earth, may you experience his love, his joy, and his peace. And may I, be agents of healing in a troubled world.
Thank you for those words. So let us spend this time now in prayer. Let us pray. Father, will you guide and strengthen the church to seek the kingdom and show the way of salvation? May all Christian people give thanks for the good things of this life, but look beyond for the greater glory. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the world where many are anxious only for their material needs. Give light to those who walk in darkness of their own fears for the unknown future. Bless with a rich harvest those who work in farming and in fishing. Lord, in your mercy. Father, will you forgive our anxieties and our lack of trust? Help us to bring hope by word and example to those around us. Grant sufficient for their needs to all who live and work within our own community. Lord, in your mercy, will you look with compassion on the places where the harvest is poor and famine threatens? Give strength to all who work to relieve those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are lonely, those who are ill. Lord, in your mercy. And we take a moment of silence now to lift up our own personal prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we give you thanks for those who have departed from this world. And in particular, this morning, we think of our brother and friend, Edmund. We thank you for the shining example of joy that he has been for us as a community. Father, we pray for Olive. We pray for the family. We pray that as though we have loss, Father, we thank you for the joy and for the rest that Edmund now has. We thank you for all those loved ones that we have that are with you in your eternal kingdom, where fear is ended and where none shall hunger and thirst again. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And again, if you can, please stand. The harvest of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And give each other a wave from where you are standing. Please be seated. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. You bring forth bread from the earth. Blessed be God forever. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. You create the fruit of the vine. Blessed be God forever. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift the voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'm going to invite George and John, who will bring around our communion. So the body of Christ given for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. So we pray together. Lord of the harvest, with joy we offered thanksgiving for your love in creation and shared in the bread and wind of the kingdom. By your grace, plant within us such reverence for all that you give us, that you will make us wise stewards of the good things we enjoy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before the service, I knew that said bread and wine. It does not say wind, it says wine. My complete bad in leading it that way. There are things that we have become so used to in so many different ways before COVID and now during COVID. That being masks, that being how we do social distancing, that how we do church and do community. And we get sucked into different ways, different thoughts, different ideas. And I want to encourage you as we continue to step out, as we continue to move forward as a church and as a community, be mindful of the things that God has been saying to you throughout this lockdown, throughout this season of pandemic. As Penny said a couple of weeks ago, it's not going anywhere. It's just us knowing how we need to live with this. And yet our blessings are abundant. The real challenge we have in Jeremiah that Bert so faithfully brought to us this morning is looking at where we get that water, even in a time of drought. It is where we have spent all our life in what God has been saying to us, how we store that up and how we live that out in these days. So be encouraged for what God is doing to his church and how we as a church are moving forward. Later on, we have our car park gathering at 10:30. And on Tuesday at 11 is Edmund's funeral, service of thanksgiving. It is going to be invite only, but it will be live streamed where you will find the link on our website where you will be able to join in. And please do contact Olive however you would if you have not already, just to pass on your love and your prayers. On Tuesday evening, we have our Zoom prayer meeting. On Wednesday, we have our communion with tea and coffee after at 10:30. And on Thursday at 10 till 12, we have this place that is open for private prayer. And on Friday, we have our coffee time again at 10:30. Definitely only till 12, as Angela keeps on politely reminding me. Do connect in. I know there are still many of the growing groups that are connecting during the week as well. Continue that. Love one another well. Connect with one another and see how we can keep on praying for one another in these times. As you receive this blessing, know as well that this is for you and it is for you to pass on to those around you. So may you know of the living water that comes from God the Father. May you know what it is to be saturated in his love. May you know the example of Jesus, who quenches your thirst, who fills your belly with bread and wine to give you sustenance and hope for how you live. And may you know the breath and the voice of Holy Spirit. May you know the breath in your lungs is the spirit and the life of God that God has for you. May you be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit in how you conduct yourselves, how you bring all that love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, how you bring all these attributes to those around you. Have your confidence in God. And in that confidence, know there is wisdom. And in that wisdom, know there is love. And in that love, know there is action. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.